and I won't speak to a while tonight on like as a father. Psalm 103:13, that's page 649 in the old Schofield, all right? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Let's pray now. Our Father tonight, help us to catch a glimpse of thy heart and what thou art to us and we are to you. Lord, may our faith be strengthened this evening. May the Holy Spirit now give us a proper image and, Lord, a concept so that we'll be able to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. God gives us many illustrations of what he's like. We think about the words that he gives us. We think about the fact that we're created by him, and he uses the word potter. Well, we can understand a potter. That's down where we live. He calls himself a counselor. He's our Savior. He's a shepherd. He's a lamb. He's a rock. He's a rose of Sharon. He's a refuge. He's water. He's bread. He's life. He's light. He's a way. He's truth, the life, the prophet, priest, king, many, many words describing what God is so we can know him and understand him. In our verse tonight, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. One of the most precious relationships that we have is a relationship with God as our heavenly father. Now, we must be born again. This is not, he's not the father of everybody. He's the father of those who trust Christ as personal Savior and are born again. He's the creator of all. He's not the father of all. And so we have to have a new birth experience, but when we trust him as Savior, then we're born again. He is our heavenly father. Now, dads, would you listen very carefully? A child's ability to trust the heavenly father many times is clouded by a wrong earthly father. Now, there's no perfect earthly father, but a child growing up with the word father and a relationship father and son, and the father's an angry, vindictive man, and son remembers father as a drunken man, a violent man, an angry man, an unconcerned man, swearing man, or an abusive father, then we read in the scriptures about a heavenly father, then he reacts about the word father through his earthly father. Very difficult for him to relate to God as a father. The child gets his image, his idea of what God's like from his earthly father, and we need to realize that. But God's the only perfect father. The rest of us have been imperfect. But I understand something about this verse, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I understand something like that because I'm a father. David wrote this psalm. David wasn't a perfect father by a long shot. In some areas, a great man, a man of God, man of faith. But David understood the heart of God, and he called him Father, his heavenly Father. Now, I know my own personal feelings to my children, and I can relate and I can interpret my feelings toward my children, then I can relate toward how God feels toward me. And I want to just, in a relaxed atmosphere, the only illustration that I can use is the illustrations that I, as a father, that's the only way that I, when I read that verse, like as a father pitieth his children, I either have to relate to my father or my feelings toward my children. Now, let's consider very briefly, by way of introduction, some general characteristics of our heavenly father to reveal in the heavenlies. He's a holy father. Scripture calls him holy father. Can't fellowship with sin. He drove Adam out. not because he was angry with Adam, but because he was holy, could not fellowship with a fallen creature until the way was made back. He's a God of power. He upholds the universe. He's a father of all wisdom. He made the world. He's a father that loves beauty. If you don't believe he loves beauty, look at the beautiful gardens and all the beautiful things that my heavenly Father made. He loves beauty. He has a sense of humor. He does. You go to the zoo. Watch the monkeys. Now, I get a bang out of watching God's handiwork. He loves humor. He loves fun. I'll talk about that a little later. He's generous. All the fruits and the vegetables, all he made for man. He loves the matter of play. He made little children to play. Watch children play. Watch the animals play. Well, who made them like that? God made them like that. God made them like that. You watch the little puppies play, and even the lions play, and bears play. You watch them. And they're playing and rolling over and over. God made them that way. I mean, their mama, they didn't get that from their mama. Mama got that from God. God built that in. God built children to play. And he wrote to us, and he calls us in many places, little children. Somebody missed Dr. John Horace in a meeting, and they looked all over the place for him. You know where they found him? They found him down in the street playing hopscotch with a bunch of little kids. When you get too old to play, you're too old. I had a blast this afternoon. I had an Easter egg hunt. Or if you don't believe in it, well, I'm sorry. I know that the bunny didn't lay the eggs. I think I read that in an encyclopedia. I know that. But I had an Easter egg hunt, had it in the living room. Man, did we, I mean, all of them, all my daughters, we all really got in it, and we hid Easter eggs, and Melody hunted eggs, and man alive, I hid them up, and then she hid them, and then somebody else hid them, and we went in the room. Joel was trying to sleep. He was one, but he didn't get any sleep, because, man, we was finding eggs. We hid them in the chandelier. I hid one. Now, I'll be careful here. I'll get in trouble. Oh, we hid them in the obvious places. I sat in the sofa and I put my head way back that, and I hid one there once. Now, it wasn't completely out of sight, but I put one in my mouth. I mean, it just hid the egg, a red egg stuck in my mouth, you know, I'm laying back there like that, and, hey, Melody, can you find the eggs? And, well, here was on the flower plant, here was on the table, here was on the, oh, we had a time, just all over the living room, we was having an Easter egg hunt. Now, Dad, if you think that's beyond your dignity, I'm sorry, you rob your children a lot of things in life. God likes fun, God likes play. He made it. Now, if that's too stiff for you, I'm sorry. But I like to play. I like to work. I like to play. God made me that way. Now, he might not have made you that way, but he sure made me that way. God loves people. He made everything for them. All right, now, let's look at some special characteristics of the Father, God, the Heavenly Father, with his own. He's your Heavenly Father. This ought to help in prayer and in trust. Turn to Matthew 6, verse 31. I'll preach the message on this, so I won't stay long on it. But I know how I feel toward my children. And God said, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now let's think as fathers. And let's think how you feel toward your children. Your response toward your little ones. All right, Matthew 6 and verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. My friend, listen. God delights to provide for his children. Now, if I sit down at a table and there wasn't enough to go around, they can have mine. If I couldn't provide for them, then I'd get another job at night. I'd be doing something to try to provide for them. Why? I'm a daddy. Where'd I get that from? Well, I got that from my dad. Where'd he get it from? He got it from his dad. Where'd he get it from? Well, it goes all the way back to God. God made a man that way. And a man thinks about his children, his family, his desire to provide for them all of their needs. And I mean, God does not grudgingly set the table. God does not grudgingly say, all right, I'll dole this out and dole this out now and dole this out. God delights to provide for his own. And when I pray as his child, have every right in the world to tell him about my needs and my needs. You're my father. You said you'd take care of him. You're my heavenly father. You told me if I provide not for my own, I'm worse than an infidel and I've denied the faith. And child of God, you have a right in the world to say, not meet my daily needs. And so you're not talking to somebody that's not concerned about your needs. You're talking about a father. And he loves you. He's concerned about you. And he'll meet your needs. He'll sacrifice. Any father that's worth anything but sacrifice to make sure that his children's needs were met. God said, Jesus said, now you don't worry about this. Your heavenly father knows that you have need of these things, and that you make it your business to serve the Lord. Then he's a counselor. In Isaiah, he says, wonderful counselor of the mighty God. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 7, it said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Did you know? I'd like to know all of my children's problems. Maybe I can solve them, but I'd sure like to try. I'd like to know what troubles them, what concerns them. I'd like to know their struggles. I'd like to know their inner struggles, not because I'm trying to pry into their life, but I'd sure like to share in it. I'd like to share in their day. I'd like to know, understand their temptation. I'd like to know how did the day go, what happened at school, what happened in work, how's things going. Now, I'm interested not because I'm curious and I just want to pry into their life, but I'm concerned about every area of the life of my children. God's concerned about every area of your life, too. God's concerned about every area of your life. So casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And if I'm an earthly father and I can't solve all the problems, but I have a heart that wants to enter in and to listen and to try to help and solve, then I got that from my Creator who made me in his image. He's my heavenly Father. He wants to know about your problems. He wants to know your cares. He wants to understand your sorrows. He wants to understand your joys. He wants to talk to you. And somebody said, well, I can't talk to my daddy. Oh, well, that's bad. Then you'll transfer that to God and say, well, I can't come to God with all of my problems. And yet God said, I'm a heavenly father. Cast all your care upon me because of him, because I care for you. Then he's a personal father. And sometimes children don't understand dads. But you know, I've got 5 children. None of them can take the place of the other one. Sometimes a person will have children and lose one, and they say, well, you can have another one, or you got 4 more. Hey, you missed it. There's nobody can take the place of another child. That individual. When the Lord pointed to his love for us as individuals in the tabernacle, the priesthood, he had the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel engraven on onyx stones and put on the shoulders of the high priest. Onyx stone, both shoulders, the 12 names. And he was underneath them, and he talked about the responsibility. They were equal by birth, and he said according to birth. They were equal by birth on the shoulders. But when it came to the matter of placing them on the heart, he said, and he shall bear them on his heart. He had 12 jewels, but they were 12 different jewels. A father loves his children equally, but he loves them differently. Now I've got 5 children and they're all different. And sometimes, you know, we Christians, we understand it in our family, but we don't understand that in relationship to one another. Did you know there are all type temperaments here tonight? And if you're not careful, you'll have personality rejections. And yet, my friend, God made them that way. Can you just see Tommy Douglas jumping up and clapping his hands and running around the building? I can't imagine that. And no, Tommy can't either. He's not made that way. There's other folks that are made that way. Now, in a family, I understand. And their temperament. Oh, you got some folks that never meet a stranger. You got some children that it's, you know, melancholy. They see the dark side. You have children that are drivers. You have children that are easy go, easy come, easy go as far as attitudes are concerned. And what happens? You'll never take and make one like the other. God never intended that. And so what happened? God loves us just for who we are and what we are and accepts us. And thank God, I'm glad that their children are not like a linked sausage. You know, they're just identical. No, God gives and God does something for us and God teaches us a lesson. And out of that, what happens? Our personal father, I repeat, none of my children can ever replace the other one. They hold a special place in my heart. God holds a special place in His heart for every one of His children. There's a place in the heart of God the Father that no other believer occupies. In Revelation chapter 2, God said, I'll give him a name written that no man knoweth saving. He that receives it. He said, there's a personal name between me and you, and I don't give it to anybody else. There's a relationship. And God saying, there's no other Christian can ever take the place of another Christian. Why? Because you're personal. You're individuals. Are you tired tonight? Am I relating to you tonight? You're awfully quiet. I know whether you're weary, and I know you worked a whole lot tonight, but I don't seem to really be plugging into your line tonight or something. Am I knocking on your door? Huh? Am I knocking on your door? Okay, maybe I'm knocking on it too close. I don't know, but I mean, you seem to push me off tonight. Relax. A personal father. And I love my children. I've had a lot of fun with my children. Had a lot of joy with my children. My children aren't perfect. I mean, there's no way in the world they can be perfect. I'm their daddy. Yours aren't perfect either. Your dad's not perfect either. But they're my children. And your children belong to you, and you ought to feel the same way towards your children as I do. All right. So again, like as a father pitieth his children, even so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Brother, I hurt when they suffer. I saw this young man sitting up here in a wheelchair the other night, and my heart, I said, my soul, if that's my son sitting in a wheelchair, I'd rather sit in a wheelchair any day than my son sitting in a wheelchair. Where'd I get that from? God said, that's the way I feel. I hurt when you hurt. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Listen, I'd die for my own. God said, yes, I would too. And he went to the cross. And young people, you know, when you get to be a dad, some of you ladies will never make it. But you'll be a mother, and you'll understand. It hurts. Isaiah 63:9 said, "Oh, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Absalom was killed." And listen to the heartbroken cry of a father. "Oh, Absalom, my son, Absalom! Would God I had died for thee." Now God said, now, I hurt when you hurt. I sympathize when you are hurt. I've watched my children in various hurts, you know, their emotional hurts. Their physical hurts, their spiritual hurts, their mental hurts. And I watch them, and when they're hurt, I'm hurt. I'd far rather you hurt me than hurt him. I watched Joel being thrown up several times. I watched the doctor. I mean, stood over him for an hour and a half, for a little longer than that, just at one time. And I stood, and I watched him being thrown up. I held Peggy in my arms while the doctor, I walked in the operating room when the little thing had her tonsils removed, and I held her in my arm. And on the table, bent over like that while they gave her the ether until she was asleep. I've been to the dentist's office. I had an appointment with a dentist. And when I got there, he said, "You'll have to stay outside." I said, "No, sir." I said, "I promised them that I'd go with them into the office with them when they asked me, 'Dad, do you go?'" I said, "I sure will." Well, the dentist said, "No, you can't." I said, "Well, you cancel my appointment. I promised my child, and what I promised my child is more important than getting you to do the job." And I said, "I'll go to another dentist." Well, it was Carolyn, but she's playing in North Georgia, and she came out of the bushes with a bite on her leg and a couple of bites, and I didn't know it was a snake bite or what. So I, was that Carolyn? That was Sharon. All I know was Sharon. I put her in the car and I headed toward the doctor's office, and I got in the doctor's office and I said, "Hey, I don't know whether my child snake bit or not, but here on my on the leg, here's on the leg. Look here," and the nurse said, "Have a seat right over there." "Huh? I know there's other people sitting there waiting to see the doctor. I understand that also. But do you mean to tell me I'm going to sit here and wonder now whether there's poison in her veins? You're sitting here while I see the doctor?" I said, didn't say anything. I took my daughter and I walked back into the office where the doctor, where the door was open, so it wasn't a matter of immodesty treating somebody. I walked back into the doctor and walked up to him and said, "Would you look at this? I don't know whether it's a snake bite or not." "Oh, say, you don't do that." "I did. I'm going to sit there and let's hold everybody else ahead of me. Why, man alive, that's my kid. That's my child." He said, "No, that looks like an insect being." I said, "Thank you," and I went home. That's mine. Now, I hurt. I've wept with them when their heart's been broken. I've cried with them when they've been disappointed. It hurts me. That's mine. Well, I'd rather be hurt any day than them. Now, how did I get that? Well, God said, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." God hurts. I have a high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But God don't care. Oh, yes, he does. He's like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Then I grieve when they fail, go astray, or sin. Hebrews 2:18 said, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted." Now, I'm a father, and in this way, I do not relate to my heavenly father. But when they disobey or sin, and I'm grieved and I'm reminded that I've done the same to my heavenly father, I guess I get more rebukes as a father, because what I want from my children, then I recognize that's all God wants from me, and he's my heavenly father. And oh my, when I begin to do then what I think about my sins and my weakness and my failures, and I can pray for them and I can understand, and their sins and their weakness and their failure. I remember a dear brother, a good man, whose son got on drugs. And he told me, he said, I went to where my son was and I saw him. And he said, it hurt so bad. He wasn't angry. He said, it hurt so bad and I wanted to pick him up. He's a young man late in things, and he said, I want to take him home with me, but here he was a kid and he didn't want to come home with me. And he said, it hurt so bad. And young people, when you do wrong, you don't anger. It grieves. It hurts the heart of somebody who loves you and cares for you. And when we sin, there's a Heavenly Father above who was hurt so much. If you want to understand how bad he was hurt, then go to Calvary's cross and hear, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's how bad it hurt God when we sin. And Calvary was not an expression of God's anger toward us. It was an expression of his wrath on sin and also an expression of his love toward sinners. Like as a father pitied his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Then, as a father, I would spare hardship if I could for my children, but hardship is necessary to grow into maturity. Now, 1941, I joined the United States Army Air Corps. And some of you want to straighten me out, said that's not the name. It was in 41. Now, I didn't mind. What my mother and dad so upset about? Oh, I'd far rather go down today and enlist in some branch of the service and be sent to combat than my son. I wouldn't think any big deal for me, but that's a big deal for my son. I didn't think such a big deal. You know, I left the job and went off not knowing whither I went and still don't know where I'm going. Oftentimes, I mean, but the Lord knows where I'm going. Job was that way. He said he knows the way that I take when they tried me or come forth as Job. But no big deal for me to take my wife and children and head off somewhere, the other side of the world, and man, that's a different story. Think about my children cutting loose, you know, and you know, it's just different. It's a whole lot easier for me. But to think of them doing, hey, wait a minute, that's too hard on them. And that's the problem oftentimes. We want to spare them the hardship. We want to spare them. And what happened? We do them harm. And it's the hardships that made us. But our nature, we want to shield them from hardship. And we want to make it easy on them. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And then I delight to share. Man, I had a day of living. We had a great service this morning. And then I went home and I had every one of my children and my grandbaby and my sons-in-law and Mother Martin there all sitting at my table. Now that's living. That's living. That's a great honor than to have the president and his cabinet sit at the table of the president and his cabinet. Now that's living. And there's nothing that I have that my children can have. I'd like to share it. Here, gladly. God made it all for man. What use does God have of it? He made it for us. The prodigal son's brother who griped about his brother that went astray, and the father said, and for the father there represents God, the Heavenly Father, said to the elder brother who begrudged the his younger brother, he said, all I have is thine. All I have is thine. And God made it for us. And then I rejoice in their honors.
For when honors come their way, I'm proud of my children. They're not perfect. Now, I'm pastor, and in many illustrations, and I oftentimes don't like to talk. I go off in revival meetings, and I'm at liberty to tell many things because I don't embarrass the kids by a constant reminder. But here's a father's example tonight. I love my children. I'm grateful to my children. I rejoice in their honors. And I make sure every preacher who comes to this pulpit, I make sure that my children meet that preacher. God's not ashamed of me. I don't know why. God's not ashamed of you. You're His children. He didn't buy you in the dark when He saved you. He knew all about you. What you were going to be, what you were, where you came from, and God saved you knowing all about you. God's not ashamed. Hebrews chapter 2 said He's not ashamed to call them brethren. And God said, hey, these are my children here. Hey, I want you to meet all these. God's not ashamed of His child. And as a father, I try to handle the fears. You know what fear is? You know, adults sometimes have greater fears than children have. Well, does God care about fears? Well, I'm an earthly father, and I sure try to solve the fears. Somebody will get me in there. Who told me the other night? Who was that told me? I hope it's nobody here. Where was that about the alligators on the bed? Did I tell somebody, am I supposed to be quiet, honey? I must be my wife bowing her head. I'm sorry. Ray said, I forgot all about it. I don't know who it was, but I'm sorry if I put my foot in my mouth. I did as a earthly father, so I'll shut up about that. My wife gave me a signal, and I forgot where it was, but I won't repeat any more of it. And the one that the shoe fits will sure know what they're talking about. The rest of you won't, but curiosity will kill you the rest of the night, but I ain't going to tell you. Scared of the dark. I've been in the dark with them. Nothing's going to hurt you in here. Yeah, Daddy, I don't want to go in there. Well, come on, I'll go in the dark with you. And I turned on the lights and say, come on, let's look on the bed and let's look in the closet and open the doors and say, there's nobody in here and nothing under there, you know. And yeah, but I saw the curtains move. We opened and look outside. Anybody out there? And I spent a lot of times dealing with things that didn't exist. And the sad part about it, that most of our fears are things that don't exist. My Heavenly Father, He said, I'll go in the dark with you. I heard the joke about the and it's more truth than fiction. The little boy said, I'm scared. He was upstairs, and I'm scared of the dark. And mother said, well, you're not scared of the dark. Boy came back then, if I'm not scared of the dark, why am I standing out here in the hall? Afraid. Sharon came running in the house one time, and I thought a lion was in the backyard. Whole little tiny thing, holy terror, curdled my blood. And I went out there, and there's a little puppy just about that big. He won't hurt you. You don't reason with fear. He won't hurt you. And so I got a dog to teach her. It won't hurt you to take care of the fears. Sometimes kid goes to sleep and wakes up at nightmare. And a little one can't distinguish between reality, you know, so real and a dream. And you got to explain to them, hey, this wasn't real. And sometimes as adult, we get reality and nightmares all mixed up. And we think real and what God said. Now, wait a minute now. Just hold on. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And God pities us in our fears, and we get afraid. The disciples got afraid. I mean, out on the sea, they said, it's a ghost. And Jesus was walking on the water, and there are adults here tonight, scared to death. And God said, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He'll go in the dark with you. He'll look under the bed for you. He'll turn on the light for you. He'll open the closet for you. He'll open the curtain for you and assure you and assure you. And I don't know how many, he'll not grow weary of assurance. I don't know how many times I've assured and assured and assured and assured and assured and assured. Like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Talking about hurting. Talking about Joel being sold up. I'll tell you, it's different when you watch one of your daughters in labor. See what that does. Thank you, son. I understand. Like as a father pities his children. Appreciate that. We like to play like. You know that? We're little children and we play like that we're big stuff. God allows us to. I sat with each of my kids when they were little tiny things. They drove automobiles, didn't have any driver's license. And I mean, they hadn't been to school, but they drove an automobile, sat in my lap and put their hands on a wheel, and I did it. And boy, we're just driving up a breeze. We're playing like. And we play like, you know, and God said, okay, and he takes us up, and boy, we just driving up a breeze, and God's doing the whole business, but he's letting us play like. Girls put on the high heels. Play like. And here below, there are a lot of things that we take credit for. Boy, just driving a car, and God said, that's all right. You just think you are, and that's all right. And God allows us to think we're driving a car and that we're grown up and God's doing the whole business and just he's enjoying it. Don't bother. God's not jealous. I mean, jealous of his holiness. But as a father, he's not. I fight battles for my children and will when I can. But Dad wouldn't. God wants to fight our battles. And I'm trying to fight a battle with this clock. I'm trying to let you out by 7:30. Last week, my daughter said, don't talk about time. You do that and call everybody's attention to it. But all right, I said, some are going to think now because it starts 6 o'clock that gradually I'm going to sneak up on and be preaching till 8:30. I'm not trying to. But you know, God delights for me to commune with him. Now, if I could ever get across my heart and line, it wouldn't be so much to take time, but I enjoy my children. Just sit down and talk to them. How do you like you? Do you like, of course, now if they've grown, I don't want them jumping up to break the furniture. Jump in my lap and say, Daddy, I love you, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's all right, every now and then. But all a dad likes son and daughter to crawl up in the lap and put their arms around and say, Daddy, I love you, and just sit there and just be near. John talks about our fellowship, and he said, truly our fellowship was with the Father. God desires fellowship with us. As a father, I relate, I desire with my own. And then the chastening. Now, here is something kids can't understand. When parents say, it hurts me more than it does you. It hurts me. I have laid it on mine and been sick afterward. They didn't know that, but I was. I was. Chasten. We used to have a time with Chasten. The times have changed. Used to when the girls were little. Generally, when one was wrong, the whole business was, and sometimes very hard to tell, you know, the culprit, who started and so forth, like so I generally whipped them all. and had one in the operating room and three out in the vestibule crying and praying for the other one. And then I turned the radio up so the neighbors wouldn't think I was killing them. I mean, turning it up real. I don't know why that man played the radio so loud, but I turned it up just wide open, you know. And I put marks on them, and there's no way in the world you spank a kid without putting marks on them. One good swat will leave a mark. Or say, you brute. Well, I don't teach them crime doesn't pay. And I love my kids. And I've whipped them. And I've loved them. But I didn't rejoice. Now, Hebrews says they chastened us for their own pleasure. Boy, I'll get you, but our Father, He chastens us for our profit. And sometimes it's humorous. But I don't delight in it. Turn to Luke 11 and I'm going to quit. And I know good and well I'm setting myself up. Luke 11:11. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, see there's Easter egg there, right there. Will he offer him a scorpion? Man, I never saw that before. Have you? I mean, well, that's illumination. Did you see that? Man, you see that? Will he offer him a scorpion? He then, being evil, if I'm an earthly father, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And what he said. Now, you think any dad here tonight, son, came up and asked him for some bread, you'd give him, say, well, here's some stones. No. Then what happens? Then the recognition of a father, an earthly father's love, ought to be an incentive to pray to heavenly Father. It'll stimulate prayer life. Like as a father pitied his children. Now let me say this. Dad, don't do anything like this. I read of a fellow who's trying to teach his boy. Don't trust anybody. Put his boy up on a stand like that and said, jump, son, I'll catch him. His son jumped and he caught him. He put him back up. He said, jump, I'll catch him. He jumped aside and the little boy like to broke his neck. He said, Dad, you said you'd catch me. He said, that'll teach you to not trust anybody. Dad, you're an earthly father and you are given an image to a little boy or a girl about a heavenly father, and the more like the heavenly father the earthly father is, the easier it is to trust the heavenly father. There's a man a moment, and we made prayer about this, and he won't mind, but Brother Morgan's and Mrs. Morgan's son, they'd die tonight for their son. He used to play the organ or the piano in meetings and then leave and go down and deal with people about their souls. He's away from the Lord tonight. Well, how does God feel when one of his gets away from him? Just a little picture is how the grief and the agony in the heart of a dad and mom that give their lives to see their son walk in the door and get right with God. Now, when a child of God goes astray, you think the Heavenly Father gets angry and he's going to get a 2x4 and I'll stick you and I'll show you out, I'll straighten you out? No, no, no. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear
him. He remembereth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust.